from either as China. In 1966, thousands of Igbos, IBOS, were killed by Hausas, H-A-U-S-A-S, over 1 million Igbos were driven from the northern region due to U.S., Western, British, and capitalist interference, whipping up tribal conflict. On May 30, 1967, Lieutenant Colonel Odumegwu, an Igbo IBO, took control of the eastern region and declared it the Independent Republic of Biafra, B-I-A-F-R-A. The Federal Republic of Nigeria, aided by the United Arab Republic, Britain, Czechoslovakia, and the Soviet Union, fought to keep the region. The Biafran rebels had the support of the colonial lackeys of U.S. imperialism, Portugal, France, and Israel. Foreign interest in the war was due to the fantastic oil wealth of the seceding region. Most of the non-Igbo tribes of the eastern region did not want to secede, and most of the Igbos, IBOS themselves, did not want to secede either. But the rebellious soldiers, led by Ojukwu, insisted on trying to break away from the Federation, taking all the wealth of the eastern region with them. The people of the eastern region were trapped at the mercy of the leaders. This is a capitalist commentary in the Almanac, so you have to know it's capitalist touch, because it was the USSR that was trying to give them some aid. Anyway, the Igbo leaders, who treated them ruthlessly when the Federation set up a blockade to stop weapons from reaching the Biafrans, the International Red Cross offered to cross the blockade to bring first aid and food supplies to starving and wounded eastern region people. Ojukwu refused all aid, letting his people starve to death in what most observers believe to be the most horrendous piece of propaganda ever employed, drumming up sympathy and support by allowing thousands of people to starve. On January 12, 1970, the Biafran leaders surrendered and Ojukwu went into exile in the Ivory Coast. Nigeria is the world's largest producer of palm kernels and palm oil, the world's largest exporter of peanuts, and a major supplier of cocoa, cotton, bananas, hides and skins, rubber, coffee and ginger, the richest African nation on earth. The women of the South control the markets and are a powerful political force. Women trade cooperatives occupy modern office buildings in the large cities. Women own factories. It's a country, strangely enough, where women have much power now. And, as I say, it's moving to the socialist alliance, even though it's been a capitalist country. The women own factories, are business executives, judges, doctors, educators. They are considered the most advanced women in the world. The women of the North, however, are typically Muslim. They're under the influence of religion, uneducated, hardly exposed to modern ways. They rarely appear in public, and when they do, are always completely covered to the eyes. The women in the northern Muslim tribes are the only adults in Nigeria who cannot vote. And of course, this is the main region of Nigeria that is still under the control of the colonialists, although the federal government, with now seeking even aid from USSR and Czechoslovakia and other socialist countries, is moving more and more independently and fiercely proud of its black heritage and refuses to tolerate the presence of white forces on the continent of Africa. Thus ends news and commentary for Bonus. Be sure now that we spend our time in the library studying the Newton tapes and the Friday night tape that would give you all you need to know to bring you up to date in the written test that must be passed. Thank you and much love.
Namibia. As you know, the United Nations had a resolution that Namibia be granted its independence on the 6th day of December of this year. As per the resolution, to which the United States subscribed and voted in a 13-2 vote, with two votes against it, Czechoslovakia and the Soviet Union. Namibia was to be able to get back Walvis Bay, one of the most important commercial ports in Southwest Africa. Strangely enough, just as Radio Moscow had predicted, when the USA hypocritically said they were for Namibian independence, they had provided $1 billion of aid, that's $1,000 million, and all sorts of aircraft and military hardware. Today, the dreaded fascist apartheid state of Union of South Africa rained bombs on 11 Namibian villages. Strange behavior, said Radio Moscow, and exactly why Moscow would not go along with the farce of the resolution. The United Nations is controlled by the imperialists because of the Security Council having a final veto. Though the majority of the nations in the General Assembly of the United Nations are black, they do not have equal vote. And the USSR calls the United Nations, anything done under the United Nations, a direct risk that it will not be done fairly. And it appears that USA is not sincere in giving Namibia its independence if it's going to allow military sorties to be done, military attacks into Namibian territory. Meanwhile, at the same time, many wounded farmers have been reported. Six had their legs amputated, while the Rhodesian troops attacked Zambia. It seems that Rhodesia is doing everything it can now, since the United States has given it the kiss of approval by lifting the arms ban and the economic ban against the white regime that only represents 3% of the people, because 97% of the territorial people back the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. Six had to have their legs amputated. Some 70 were killed while they were carrying on peaceful farming, hunting and fishing. This was done by mercenaries from Rhodesia and air strikes. Ethiopia. The siege has gone on for 1.5 years, says Radio Moscow, an attempt to take over Ethiopian territory by imperialist backed troops of Somalia. For the first time, the Mekelle Airport has been able to resume services on the Red Sea as those Eritrean reactionaries have been driven out. Eritrea welcomed large assemblies and crowds the Ethiopian troops as they marched in to Eritrea, says the Moscow Radio. Oxnard, California. Radio Moscow is making much of the Ku Klux Klan activity in that area and says it has official sanction and approval at the highest levels of government. I don't remember much where Oxnard is. I guess it's close to Los Angeles. The Ku Klux Klan has been holding meetings nightly, said the Moscow Radio. The police have been protecting the Klansmen. Burning crosses have been witnessed all through minority neighborhoods, not just black, but Indian, Chicano, and Asian, as well as cross-burning has been done in Jewish communities. Let's hope that it awakens them, that they have the same plight that everybody else has. People who try to demonstrate against it are arrested, but no member of the Ku Klux Klan has been arrested as yet. For Radio Moscow to give coverage to such an event shows that there is a significant activity of the racist Ku Klux Klan in the Oxnard area of California. The dollar has fallen again to another all-time low in comparison to the Japanese yen. It now stands at $1.83, as gold is soaring above $2 an ounce. Moscow said, it will only be time before capitalism will collapse by its own inevitable contradictions. The Communist parties of Europe, particularly 85 members of parliament who are communists in France, are protesting the entrance of Greece, as we have seen Greece in Z, how democracy is crushed there with the aid of USA CIA assistance. Communists, even the Euro Communist Revisionists, are up in arms about the admission of Spain, which is still fascist, really, in orientation, and Greece into the European common market. Lebanon. Christian forces have been forced to retreat. The Christian forces, the Falangists, are the fascists. They're all the same. Army of Syria, an ally of the Soviet Union, has taken some territory back that had been conquered in South Lebanon by Zionist Israel. Beirut. Several armed clashes are occurring in Beirut again today between left-wing Muslims and the right-wing Falangists. Peking, China. Military delegation from Cambodia has been received. We are coordinating joint attempts, said Radio Moscow, to have a buffer zone for mainland China in Southeast Asia and trying to bring Vietnam under the auspices of the Soviet Union. I suppose China feels that she needs surrounding allies in that the USSR has the Warsaw Pact and the USA has the European Common Market and NATO. But it's a dreadful way to have to keep the world peace in such a manner. Contradictions continuing with the news. Apparently, Peking feels, I said, the need of a buffer zone. They feel a need for a buffer zone, but Vietnam has chosen to be an ally of the Soviet Union. It's a terrible difficulty when you see in the world Marxism emerging in the nuclear age. A very beautiful type of domestic communism in China, and a beautiful progressive form in the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union has particularly been the avant-garde of liberation in Africa, on the front lines. Yet, these feelings of insecurity, nationalism, down through the history, differences because of ethnic background or racial background, create another barrier to avoiding nuclear war. Not only do we have the struggle between capitalism and socialism, but we have socialism being divided by nationalism. It's to be expected. That's the way human beings operate. You know, in our own group, how close we are. And one tends then, after being hurt many times, to draw closer together and become more apprehensive of the outside. And as you build and include others within your group, it's a slow process. So you can understand a little bit about how people evolve slowly. Mozambique boy, age 5 years of age, had a serious abdominal injury. One of the Soviet surgeons on hand, he was injured by the attacking Rhodesian forces that have been equipped since last week by our U.S. economic and military aid that the Senate granted. The Soviet doctor on the spot transfused his own blood into the boy to save his life. The surgeon has been in Mozambique now for 7.5 years and has served faithfully on the average of 2,000 patients a month. That shows a considerable amount of activity. He's donating his time through the Soviet Medical Assistance Plan in the Liberation of African program. Spacewalk, they have been able to discover a great deal about microscopic plants' behavior and animals' behavior in outer space. Details, of course, would not be provided for reasons of national security. 150,000 joyful Moscow citizens moved into bigger houses that have been built since the beginning of this year. The average rent cannot be more than 5%, and in some places, rent has been abolished altogether. It is law in the Soviet Union that only 5 cents out of every dollar can go to rent for the citizens, 5%. So you can help your mathematics there. Whereas in the United States, it's not uncommon at all for rent to be 50% of your salary. And in other words, you have to pay 50 cents of every dollar you own on rent. Quite a contrast between socialism and capitalism. Continuing with the news. Most of the news has been given earlier, and so we'll repeat it shortly, and then I'm sure everyone's had ample time, if they really wanted to hear Friday's news, to be prepared for the test. The Soviet Union again appeals to the United States to support the Helsinki Peace Accord. The Soviet Union said that NATO is now going fully against every agreement they made in the Helsinki Accords. If there is not cooperation in humanitarian fields, the psychological war now going on, said Russia, will break out, perhaps not when intended, but break out it will, into nuclear holocaust. Bulgaria strongly indicts Peking leadership for its assistance to U.S. policies in Zaire. Bulgaria had been reasonably supportive of China, but it condemns its moves in Zaire. I'm having a little difficulty in figuring out what's going on these days in Zaire, but it seems that Zaire is moving to a posture of friendship with Angola. But Bulgaria is one of the members of the Soviet Union's alliance in the Warsaw Pact. Bulgaria said that China is allowing itself to be used by the most reactionary forces as exemplified by Angola, Ethiopia, and Zaire. Employment in the USSR, there has been no unemployment in 50 years in the Soviet Union. That would mean since 1928, there has been no unemployment in the Soviet Union. Free education for 27 years. Full employment is guaranteed. Even choice of jobs is guaranteed. One only need to remain on their job for a 1 year period. Then they can alternate and shift jobs or go into new fields of specialty or training. The school systems now in the Soviet Union will become more scientifically rounded and agriculturally orientated. 17 African nations condemn the French for their interference in West Sahara. Several members of the Polisario movement have been killed by mercenaries in West Sahara. Chad is being upheld, a regime that is corrupt, said Radio Moscow, only by France and USA capitalist backing. The French paper Le Monde, the world, says in Upper Volta there are 6 million citizens. 5 million are slowly starving to death.
2,000 Frenchmen live as kings and queens. Stand by. Continuing with the news from Radio Moscow. Can you imagine tonight when we have eaten well, what it must mean in that part of where U.S. still controls through its French lackeys, that 5 out of 6 people are going to bed hungry, slowly starving, while 2,000 white people are walking around like kings and queens? In Gabon, G-A-B-O-N, the Soviet Union says out of a population of several million, 15,000 Frenchmen make 66% of the income of that nation. 15,000 French and other European and U.S. citizens make 66% of the income. No way to relate to that. Then when people say that Africa shouldn't struggle by any means necessary, as Malcolm said, by any means necessary, throw off the burden of the oppressor. They must be out of their mind. All those days they talked about peace and nonviolence. People can't be nonviolent when they're starving to death, going to be exterminated as they are clearly today, after all of Martin King's talk about nonviolence. USA blacks are in worse condition today than they ever were. Zambia also protests the torture of its own people that are being taken captive by the Rhodesian White Armed Forces as they're openly showing their colors. But the president said, nothing will make us give up our support of the liberation of Africa. Stand by. The last of this news. Mozambique is calling upon Soviet direct military aid. The Soviet High Command is in general session because Mozambique has endured several raids into its
sovereign territory. The actual extermination of several villages has been brought about by bombings from Rhodesian planes. It's quite obvious, since the United States Congress lifted the ban, that Rhodesia acts like she has the right to kill anybody she pleases, whenever she pleases. Swapo, if the South African regime refuses their demands, they will carry on their armed struggle until the last man and woman is dead, so says Radio Moscow. They have had a temporary ceasefire, but if any more bombings occur in their territory, SWAPO will again resume their military actions. And Radio Moscow declares a statement of their commander, the leader of SWAPO, Southwest African People's Organization, that they will continue their struggle for the liberation of their nation of Namibia if it requires the death of the last man and woman. This is the end of Moscow news, nothing particularly new, so we'll go back and replay the news that was given midday. Then you under the pavilion, who are probably running to prepare for the test rather than bonuses, may want